Today at lunch, some of us from Cousin's Corner over there, Jack Briggs, asked me, "You're not nervous about tonight, are you? I know you've been a Gideon a long time." Well, one of the most intimidating things for a Gideon to do is to preach in his own church. People see all your warts, all your shortcomings, and now you're up here talking, using God's word to convince them to be part of God's ministry. Even more intimidating than that is to be standing here in Daryl Manning's pulpit. Probably the greatest preacher I have ever heard. I wish I could say I'm happy to be here, but I'm not there yet. Now, after I get started, I will be. But let's get started. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This was Gideon's battle cry for the Lord, found in Judges 7:18. This quote was from Judges was the opening of a message I gave last year. The text I used was taken from the book of Judges 6 and 7, which describes how God uses the weakness of men to demonstrate his power. I will not be using this text today, but I would like to tell you about an incident that grew out of that message. I spoke last year on July 3rd in Everett, Michigan. My daughter Beth and her husband Randy were there, along with their daughter Alexa, our granddaughter, and her husband from Tennessee. With them was my rambunctious great-grandson of 2.5 years old. Gideon was nearing his third birthday, and his year-old brother, Justice, also attended. Now, we're trained to open our messages with an attention-grabbing opening line, and that's the one I used. When I said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, Gideon was listening. Now, they returned to Tennessee, and on our way back from Florida, we stopped and spent 4 days with them. But before we did that, my granddaughter informed us that Gideon was running around the house, raising his arm, saying, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And I'm telling you, if I had as much energy as him, I would tell you I'm going to live to be 130. Because he never, ever stops. We went to a Civil War battlefield. We went into the gift store, the inevitable gift store. And Grandma Sandy found some swords and thought Grandpa should buy them for Gideon and Justice. And so I did. When I was walking out of the store, out of the gift shop, Gideon saw those swords sticking out of the bag, and he came at a dead run and pulled one of those swords out and took off on a dead run to his father and whacked him with it on his bare arm. I think Gideon is going to be a soldier for Christ someday. Now, I hope you enjoyed that story as much as I now enjoy and appreciate being here today. I am a living example of God taking a man in his weakness and using him for his purposes. I love being a Gideon. I love serving the Lord. My wife and I love this church. We have not been going here a long time, about 2 years. Your warm hospitality is so gracious, and your strong and loyal financial support to the Gideons is so much appreciated. It makes you partners in the soul-winning endeavor for Jesus Christ. You can be proud of that. I am excited and grateful to be here today representing the Gideons and to provide an update on the current ministry. Gideons must be professional laymen that must be members of an evangelical church and recommended by their pastor for this ministry. We are always in need of recruits. God's work is never done and is extremely rewarding. Perhaps God is encouraging some of you men to get involved. We also have an auxiliary program for the women. But God needs godly men in these pressing times. We're handing out more Bibles than ever with less Gideons. In my camp up north in Everett, Michigan, that's where I'm currently a member. I'm going to switch that to Saginaw. But in my camp up north, I'm the second youngest Gideon. We're dying off, folks. The young men in this country have to pick up the challenge. Because 80% of all missionary involvement comes from North America. And if that dries up, what's going on, the miracles that are happening in Africa, in the Middle East, in India, and in China, will dry up and stop. We're always in need of recruits. The fields are ripe for the harvest. The laborers are few. Contact me if you have the slightest interest in becoming a Gideon. The Gideons are an association of evangelical Christian and professional laymen organized in 1899 with the sole purpose of winning souls to Christ. In 1908, they began placing scriptures in the highways and byways of life, such as hotels, hospitals, schools, colleges, and jails. I personally love the one-on-one contact, particularly in the colleges, and the opportunity for witness these activities provide. A popular service we provide, and there's a Gideon card on the table just outside the aisle there. We provide Gideon card program, in one of which, in memory of. I don't give flowers at funerals anymore. In a few days, they wither, they're gone, and they're forgotten. In memory, these memory cards, you can purchase Bibles for $5 a piece. And we place those Bibles, and they have a life of about 6 years. The people that receive these cards, and you purchase a memorial for their loved ones, they are so grateful and appreciative. And the people you provide are blessed. The people that receive it are blessed. And the people that read that Bible are really blessed. That's just one card. We have another card of thinking of you. You have a friend you haven't seen for a while? There you go. You can pick these cards up in the back of the church. Also in recognition, I send these for wedding anniversaries, graduations, etc., and dedicate those Bibles. They're available to you, and it helps the ministry tremendously. God has so blessed this ministry that in 93 years, the 1 billionth Gideon Bible was presented to President George W. Bush on August 31st, 2001, one day before hate-filled fanatics used hijacked airliners to kill over 3,000 Americans and basically declared a religious war on Christians. Do not despair. God is in control. His blessings continue to flow. In May of 2015, in less than 14 years, the 2 billionth scripture was distributed. When I think of the rapid increase in the distributions of Gideon Bibles, I have to question, whether the end times are near. Because that is tremendous, tremendous progress. With your help, over 100 million scriptures a year are being placed in sinners' hands. Lives are being changed. Souls are being saved. We plant, someone waters, and God grants the increase. Praise God and His unlimited love and mercy. My friends, we live in perilous times, and the enemy is powerful. Revelations 12, 7 through 12. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. The dragon prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They were given the boot. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Without Christ, we do not have the power to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the power of the Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe is the inhabitant of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I was raised Catholic. I can remember the nuns telling me in school, we are waiting, Christ is waiting to come back when we get the world perfect. Wow. I'm certainly old enough to know the difference between the way the world was then and the way it is now, and I think it gets worse every day. We see the devil is loose amongst us, but we need not fear, for Christ told us in Acts 1:8. You know, as I get older, these print gets a lot smaller. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We shall receive power. Now I tell you, folks, this part of this message was inspired by our great pastor. And it is so important. I looked at this Acts in a far different way after he spoke, because we can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot have the Holy Spirit until we have the salvation and the belief in the love of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:2-5. Until that day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. God ministered to the apostles for 40 days before the Holy Spirit came. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard from me. That's the Comforter. Jesus said, I must needs go away for the Comforter to come. And the Comforter has not yet come. And so anybody that believed in Jesus Christ at that point was without the power necessary to accomplish what God wanted. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So wait upon the Holy Spirit. Accept Jesus so you can get the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 to 12 and then 15. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, which is about 3,000 feet, a little over half a mile. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and mother Jesus and with his brethren. Verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together was about 120. At that point there were 120 Christians in the world. 120. And Christ is walking around on earth after having been crucified. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in other tongues, and people understood them. Now, Acts 2, 1 to 4. And when the day of, I read that, didn't I? All right. There were 3,000 conversions that day. We went from 120 to 300,000 because they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. People in this world need the Word of God to accept the Word of Jesus Christ and to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's where the Gideons come in. I believe the 100 million scriptures you help provide this year is saving souls and changing lives. Perhaps one of them will lead a revival that changes the world. To go from 120 to 3,000 in one day, look at how miraculous that is. One Christian knowing Jesus Christ and being empowered by the Holy Spirit can accomplish everything, can move mountains. And that is why it is so important to get the scriptures in the hands of these people that have never heard of Jesus Christ, many of which live in the city of Flint and in Genesee County and maybe even next door to you. I had an experience, and I need to tell you this. It tells you why I love being a Gideon. Several years ago, I went to get a haircut in Everett, Michigan. Small little town, one stoplight in Everett. A lot of the previous retail stores are vacant. They're big plate glass windows and nothing in them. I needed a haircut. The only way you can get a haircut in Everett, Michigan is go to a beauty shop. My beauty shop was full. So I went across the street to a brand new beauty shop, devoid of customers. And the poor gal didn't have anybody in there, so I went in there, asked if she took drop-ins. Oh, yes, come in, come in. We exchanged a little bit of small talk. I told her, I just need a trim because I have to give a Gideon message on Sunday. What's a Gideon message? Oh, that's opportunity knocking. I said, we hand out Bibles in the hotels. Well, I never go to hotels. We hand out Bibles in the hospitals. Oh, yeah, I've seen them in there. Yeah, yeah. Are you a Christian? No, but I'm thinking about it. Do you have a Bible? No, I don't. Here I am all wrapped up in a sheet, half my hair's cut off. I run outside. The thriving metropolis of Everett, Michigan, went into my truck and got a Gideon Testament out and came, walked in and flipped it back to the back page. You can lead anybody to Jesus Christ by having a Gideon Bible and opening that back page. I went through there and I led her through that and I said, now, would you like to know Jesus Christ today? And she said, yes, I would. And we knelt down in that storefront window in Everett, Michigan, and there were scores of people. Well, one. And a letter to Jesus Christ. Amen. And then I sat back and got my hair cut. It's the only haircut I ever got by a brand new Christian. Amen. It's the best haircut I ever had. Now, there was one other occasion. This happened in the fall of 2010. I got there about 5 minutes late, so they stuck me in the back corner of Ferris College up in Big Rapids, Michigan. They said, you'd be lucky if you see 50 people today. I said, well, I'll give me some Bibles. They gave me 100 Bibles, and I went back there, and the students were all walking to school, coming in the back way, and if they saw me, they'd know what I was doing. They saw me, they'd cross the street. So I ran across the street. I ran out of Bibles. So I used my cell phone calls to bring me another 100 Bibles. And I'd been there about 3 hours. It was a nasty day. It's like the 1st of October, and it was raining. And this guy came along. I was pretty sure he was a college professor. He was probably about 40 and had a beard. I said, would you like a Gideon Bible? Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Wow. What a downer. I've been there 3 hours. I'm soaking wet. I'm cold. I said, I'm going to quit. No, I only got 10 Bibles left. I'll give these up. About 2 minutes later, a guy came by. He picked up the Bible. He asked if he could have a Bible. I said, certainly. That's what we're here for. I gave him the Bible. He walked about 10 feet. He stopped and he says, you got a minute? I had all day. I said, yes. I do have a minute. He said, 10 years ago, I was in a church in Detroit in the middle of the winter in a soup kitchen. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was totally hopeless. I had nowhere to go. And he said, as I walked down and got my bowl of soup, at the end of the table was a stack of Gideon Bibles that some Gideon had left there. He said, I picked up that Bible, and I started to read it, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. My addictions went away immediately. My alcoholism, I didn't even have a desire to drink. He says, today, 10 years later, I'm married. I have 2 children. I have a job. I'm almost ready to graduate from college, and I owe it all to that Gideon Bible. Amen. He made my year. And that's why I love being a Gideon. And I would like you to know that every dime donated to the Gideons is used exclusively to buy scriptures. The Gideons themselves pay for all administrative costs and about 15% of all the Bibles. So it's quite an investment for you to invest in God's Word and be part of His ministry. And believe me, God blesses you for it. And what a guarantee we have. You cannot believe this, folks. Isaiah 55:11 tells us, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I want to tell you, I'm an example of that. Because God's changed my life. Now, I have a question to ask. Is there anybody within my hearing that has any doubt at all that Jesus is their personal Savior, resides in your heart, and assures your salvation and eternal life? Anyone at all? Because I stand here telling you, God loves you. And He does not want you to perish. He does not want you to become a victim of the wiles of the devil. This altar is open. God wants you here. If you have any doubt, please come forward. Please come forward and say the sinner's prayer. Ask Jesus to change your life, because He will change your life. Amen. Pastor.